says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." In Romans 11:36, says, "For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." Okay. Are you noticing the pattern here? Revelation 4:11. "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." So, God created everything for him. It is not about us. It is about him. Okay? You're not put here for you. If you didn't notice, the world was going on before you got here, and it will probably be going on after you're gone. So it's not about you. So, but fortunately for us, God has a plan for us and a purpose for us to be here. And that's what I want to talk to you about. When I was in junior high school, I took a course called woodworking because I thought it might be interesting. I was not good at it. It took me 6 weeks to make a sanding block. Okay. And the rest of the semester, I made a memo pad. Okay. Other guys were making gun racks and all this stuff, and I made a memo pad. Okay. So I enjoyed it, but I was not good at it. All right. But my point is, I decided what I was going to make, that I was going to make that memo pad. The memo pad didn't decide what it was going to be. I decided what it was going to be and what it was going to be for. Okay? And so when you create something, then you decide. It doesn't decide. And so God has created us in his image, made us very special, given us an eternal spirit which separates us from all other things he created. And so we have, because of that, we have value. We are more valuable than all of the money, all of the things on this earth, because they're all going to be burned up. But our spirit is eternal. And so God has created us and made us more valuable than anything else he created. And so we have a very great purpose. He has made us exactly the way he wants us to be. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, it says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." That pretty much covers everything. Okay? So what's your purpose? Glorify God. To honor God. In Ephesians 1, verse 6, verse 12, verse 14, in every one it talks about things that God has blessed us with, but after it says that God has done this for us and he's done this for us, it has a phrase in every verse there, verse 6, verse 12, the same phrase, "to the praise of his glory." If you read that, "to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory." That's why he did all these things and gave us all these things. Okay? So it is to honor him. And as we've talked about in our classes, God has given us gifts to use to honor him. And those gifts are time, property, and that we've talked. Those are the two things we've already discussed in our classes. Relationships. We're going to start our next series. We'll be talking about relationships. Our relationship with God, our relationship with our family, with our neighbors, with the church. All these relationships that God has given us. Income. God has given us some income. And our bodies. God has given us our bodies. But all of these things that he's given us, and they all come from God, are for his purpose, not ours. Okay, what does he want us to do with all these things that he's given us, that he's blessed us with? I didn't do anything to get them. He's given us some abilities, he's given us some things, and everybody's different. And he made it, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, he did it on purpose. He made us different on purpose. He didn't make you just like me. Hopefully you're better at woodworking than me. Okay? But we're all different. And that's all right. Sometimes when people are looking, well, what's my purpose in life? And I like to ask people, do you know what your purpose in life is? And most say, no, I don't know. And then I ask, would you like to know? Because some people don't seem to even care. But I would think you'd want to know why you're here. It would seem a logical question. And so as we talk about stewardship, we're talking about how do we honor God, you know, with what he's given us. And he's given us all these blessings. If you think about all the blessings that you've got, that you woke up this morning and you can walk and talk and hear. I hope you can hear. See, all these you woke up with these this morning, they're wonderful blessings. If you lost any of them, you'd probably give all that you had to get it back. And yet God just gave them to you for free. And nobody in the world gives you blessings like God has given you. Nobody. Not your mother, not your father, not anybody. In fact, God gave you them. So he ought to be the easiest person in the world to love, because nobody's given you things like God's given you. And without him, you don't breathe, you don't exist. Okay? And so we need to understand that as we live our lives, that it's not about us, that it's about him, and that to honor him and to value him. And so as stewards, a steward seems like an old word maybe for some people, but it basically means like a manager, okay? And you're going to manage things. You manage what all God has given you. So I use an example to understand it. Suppose you're a manager at Lowe's, or you can make it Home Depot if you prefer, I don't care. But you're a manager and you're given 20 people to manage, and you're given $20,000 to manage, and you have all the materials, of course, that are at Lowe's to manage. But you decide, all right, you 20 guys, I want you to go to my house and work on my house. And I'm going to take the $20,000 that I'm managing and take it and use it on my house. And I'm going to use the materials at Lowe's to fix up my house. How would that go over? Well, probably one of two things that happened. Either at the least you would lose your job. At the most you'd go to prison. Okay. Because what? That's not your guys. That's not your money. That's not your material. Why? Because it's Lowe's material. So as a manager, you decide how it's used, but what? Who do you have to please? Your boss. If you please your boss, what happens? You get rewarded. If you don't please your boss, something else happens. Okay? But certainly if you go and take your stuff and spend it on yourself, nothing good is going to happen. And it's the same thing with us. If we take what God has given us and blessed us with, if we use it well to honor him, we get blessed. If we use it for ourselves and just, well, what I want, what I like, let me do what I want, it doesn't go well. And that's what happens in life. And so that's basically what we're talking about. Recognizing, and God wants us to recognize that everything we have is his. But he's given us this opportunity to manage it. And if we manage it, then we get blessed, and so does everybody else. But if we are selfish and use it for ourselves only, then people do not get blessed, and we don't honor God. What I'm saying is very practical. It has to do with our everyday life, everything we do. Recognizing again, hey, everything I've got is God's. So my time, like we talked about, our time, our property, it's not my property. My house, my car, it's not my house, my car. It's God's house, and God's car. It's all he's blessed us with. So what am I going to do with it? I have to decide what to do with it. He's not going to tell me, you got to do this, you got to do that. I have to decide. But I need to decide based on what honors him. Okay? And that's true of relationships. It's true of all the things we do. One of the things is our purpose is not to have a certain job. You know, most people think, well, did God create me to be a plumber, or did God create me to be a, you know, an accountant, or what did he create me for? No, he created you to honor him. Okay? And it didn't matter, and he didn't say, did he create me to live in Huntsville, Alabama, or did he create me to live in Siberia? Where did he create me to live? He created you to honor God. Wherever you're at, with whatever you got, wherever God puts you. Is it all right to move? I hope so. I've done it plenty. Okay? If I can serve God better here, go here. If I think I can serve God better there, go there. Where can I? But the decision is about the why, not the what. Okay? And I can't emphasize this enough. It is why we do things, not what we do, that is critical. Why do you do what you do? Okay? I want to give you some simple practical examples. Work. Why do you go to work if you work? You say, well, I gotta make some money. Okay? Why do you work? There's good reasons to work and there's bad reasons to work. If you go to work simply to make as much money so you can buy as much stuff for yourself, then that's not honoring God. But if you go to work to provide for your family, then that honors God. If you look at 1 Timothy 5:8, it says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. To me, that's a pretty strong statement. Okay? What does it say that we ought to work for? To provide for ourselves and our family. Okay? If we aren't willing to do that, don't do that, then what? We've denied the faith and we're worse than an unbeliever. So if I work to provide for myself, see, God doesn't want us to be leeches. He doesn't want us to be takers. He wants us to be givers. And so he wants us to provide for ourselves and for others. Then we become a blessing to people and not a curse. Okay? If I'm always, to me in life, there's givers and takers. God wants us to be givers, not takers. There's people that, gimme, 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 gimme. Okay? God wants us to take care of ourselves and our family and others. Then we're not a burden on anybody. We're a blessing. And that's what he wants us to be, a blessing to everyone. And I would think, and I would hope, that that's what we want to be. Is a blessing to everybody. And so he has us to work to take care of these things so that others don't have to do it. They don't have to provide for us. we can do it ourselves. Another example, going to church. Is going to church honoring God? Well, it depends on why you go. If you go come here to pick up girls, it's probably not too spiritual. Okay? If you come here to network to get more business, it's probably not too spiritual. Okay? If you come here because, you know, his way says for 60 days, you got to be here. Okay, that is not necessarily spiritual. But if you come here because you want to honor God, then it's spiritual. You want to worship God, you want to praise God, that's spiritual. You want to encourage one another, that's spiritual. So the question isn't what you're doing, it's what? Why you're doing it. Why are you doing whatever you do? Yesterday I played golf with a bunch of the guys from his way. Why did I do that? I like golf. But that's not why I did it. I did it because I had a chance to fellowship with the guys at his way, to encourage them, for them to see that I do something besides teach. I think I used to preach for about 30 years, and when I was preaching, the best compliment I ever got was a lady came up to me and she says, "You're just like a real person." I'm like, okay. All right. Sometimes people see you different ways, okay? And God didn't say you don't have to, you can't enjoy what you do. In fact, I think he wants you to enjoy what you do. But it's the why you do it. Not the what, but the why. Are you trying to honor God or not? And that's what's important. So how do we honor God with our gifts? By loving God and loving people. In Matthew 22, 37 to 39, Jesus replied, was asked, "What's the greatest commandment?" He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Okay? So one of the ways we honor God is to what? Love God. And again, since nobody gives you gifts like he does, that ought to be the easiest thing in the world to do. If you think about it, nobody blesses you like him. And so that should be easy. Now, loving the neighbor is a little harder. Okay, but he calls us to love our neighbors. And who is our neighbor? Whoever we're around that needs help. Okay, in John 14, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commands." So if I love God, then I'm going to do what? Do his will. If I want to honor him, I'm going to do what? Do his will. Okay. In Matthew 25, 34 to 40, it says, "Then the king's," and this is a judgment, see, picture of judgment. He says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" Okay, at the judgment, here's the judgment scene here where we stand before God and he's asking what? How did you treat people? How did you deal with them? How did you treat them? And basically his point is what? How you treated them is what? How you treated me. So how you treat your neighbor, your roommate, your wife, your husband, your kids, your coworkers, the lady at Walmart, whoever, that's how you're treating God. So how are you treating them? See, are you loving them? Are you doing what's best for them? Are you thinking about them? You see, because obviously if Jesus, in fact, in the verses after this, he does the opposite. He says, I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything to drink. And on and on, just in the same way. And they said, well, Lord, when did we see you? You know, if Jesus walked in here, probably y'all would be nice to him. Okay? Oh, yeah, what can I do for you? Whatever. And he says, what? Inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. So how you treat them is how you treat God. So how we treat one another, do we treat one another as valuable because God made us valuable? See, how do I speak to my wife? How do I speak to my husband? How do I treat them? Do I treat them like I'd treat Jesus? Because that's what he calls me to. How do I treat my neighbor? See, it isn't all right for me just to say whatever I want. Well, that's just how I feel. Okay? Is that all right? Why are you doing it? See, if you're always thinking about how do I honor God with this person, with this whatever situation I'm in, then we're going to make good choices about how we live our lives. We're going to be good managers of the gifts that God has given us. Okay, in Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. How do you feel when you do good? You feel good, right? That's because that's what you were created to do. Do good. He created you to do good. Not to do bad, but to do good. In Titus 2:14, it says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Are you eager to do what is good? Are you looking for opportunities to do good? And guess what? You are free to do all the good you can. I mean, you're just free to do all the good you can. That's why God put you here. Wherever you have opportunity. What do you think about waking up every morning thinking, who can I do good to today? Who can I be a blessing to today? Who can I help? Who can I encourage? Is that a bad way to live? Think that'd be a better way than maybe some of the ways we live? Some of the ways we do? I got up on the wrong side of the bed today. What side of the bed is that? Okay. Who got you out of bed? Did you choose? Okay. Is there a wrong side of the bed? Maybe a wrong attitude, but they ain't the wrong side of the bed. Okay. We choose. We choose how we deal with people. We choose if we're going to try to honor God with our life, with how we treat one another, with how we speak to one another. And again, it's the why. Why do you do what you do? Is it to honor God? Well, in order to do that, what? You need to be thinking about that, don't you? About honoring God. Every night when I pray for the next day, and I pray that I will honor God in everything I say and everything I do. And I do that every night because I want to remind myself to do that. I do it every night because every day I want to remind myself to do that. Now, it becomes a little easier if you keep doing it. Keep reminding yourself and reminding yourself till you can get into a habit of doing that. Okay? But some of us need to be reminded. I need to be reminded to do that. To think about how I'm going to see people and how what I'm going to do. When you think about your life, you know, when you think about what you do, I don't care whether you're a plumber or electrician. I don't think God cares what you are in terms of, do I choose this profession or that profession, or, you know, where I work or whatever. He does care about why you do it, why you choose this. And I suggest normally, common sense seems like if you're good at something, that might be something you, usually we enjoy what we're good at. And so you might choose something that honors him that you're good at, and you'll probably enjoy doing it. And so he's given us various gifts, and so you might look at, well, what gifts has he given me? And so what can I do that honors him that I enjoy? Because he's given us everything for our enjoyment. Being a Christian doesn't mean I have to, oh, everything is bad, I just got to tough it out through my life till I get to the end. Okay? Is there some tough stuff to deal with? Yeah. But he wants us to enjoy it, to have joy and peace. Who in the world would have more joy and peace than a Christian who's got all these blessings from God? See, the world would try to tell you that, well, you know, if you're a Christian, you can't, you know, that means you have no fun, you're zero fun, you're, it's all bad. Really? You know why they say that? Because the devil made them do it, number one. But because, you see, if they actually tried it and found out, you know, it wasn't quite like they thought it was, you know, that's what people... You know, a lot of people say, I don't want to go to church, all that's all terrible, whatever. Why do they say that? You know, mostly because they haven't tried it. And if they did, then they'd have to do something. Okay? They might have to change. Okay? And heaven forbid that we would change and do what God called us to do. Or find out that, you know what? God's really got some neat stuff for me to do. I just didn't realize it. God has a really great life for me that I didn't even realize I could have. In Colossians 3, 23 and 24, it says, whatever you do, that covers a lot, doesn't it? Work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Okay? How about that for start your day? Okay. Working for the Lord, not for humans. Don't have to worry about pleasing Him. If you please God, you'll do fine. And I think you'll be surprised, but most humans are pretty pleased with you too, if you're working hard. If you're working at it with all your heart, you'll probably be the best worker they've got. It's amazing how practical God is, isn't it? You think maybe He knows something about our life? About what's best for us? You think maybe He's smarter than we are? In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." It's called the Great Commission. So one of the things God that honors God and God has called us to is what? Teaching people the gospel and continuing to teach them about God. How do people know about that unless somebody teaches them? You think this is a lesson that most people in the world hear? Probably not. Okay. How are they going to know that there's a better life? Some of the guys who come into His way, they've seen life, but a lot of times they haven't been loved, and people haven't treated them very well sometimes. And life's been very hard. And they're amazed to find that there are people who are actually loving and kind and don't want something from them. Just want to do good for them. And that God has a much better life than they ever dreamed is possible. Talk to them. Talk to some of them. I think they'll tell you. Is that true, Seth? Am I lying? Nope. How are people going to know unless somebody tells them about all the good stuff God has for them? So He calls us to do that, and that honors Him. In 2 Corinthians 5, I preached a couple weeks ago. I can't remember when. But it talks about a message. We talked about the message of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation, bringing people to God. That's what God wants us to do. Bring them back. Again, that's intentional. I think God intends for us to live our lives intentionally. We're intentionally doing this. We're intentionally honoring God. We're intentionally living this way. We're intentionally trying to reach this person, reach that person. Sometimes people think, well, I've got to do some great thing, and if I can't do some great thing to change the world, then I might as well forget it. No, it doesn't work that way. Most people are not going to do some great thing that gets noticed or changes the world. You change the world one person at a time. One person at a time. I watched the Phillips, the Wise Hearts, working with little children. Taking in children and working with them, and then later maybe working with their parents. And just, they're focused. It's not a big thing that probably is going to be in the Huntsville Times or anything like that, but something that makes a difference in people's life. Maybe just deal with one person, one child. But intentionally making a difference, helping them to come to God. It's about reconciling people to God, letting them know all of the blessings that they have, that they can have in Christ, that God wants for them. Let them know why God put them here, that He has a great life for them to live that makes a difference in the world. Because if you start loving people and trying to honor God with them, I'll guarantee you, you'll make a difference in people's life. I like John Coon. John just loves to love people. Okay? He's a great encourager. Okay? He does that one person at a time. Okay? He'd probably do it to everybody if he could figure a way to hug everybody at the same time, but he does it one person at a time. Okay? That's what you do. Make a difference. Start in your own home. It's a good place to start. But do it with each person that you meet. Honor God with them. Show them the love. You know, even if you don't know them, love is a choice. It is choosing what is best for them. I tell the guys when they come to his way, and I just meet them, I'm choosing to love you. It's my choice. Nothing you can do about it. Okay? I choose it. That's what I want for you. Because that's what God wants for me. That's how he treats me. That's what I want for you. They haven't done anything good to me, bad to me, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. I know that what? What honors God? It's to love people. And guess what? Sometimes people respond to that in a good way. When they're shown love. And respect. And value. So, I'm at my conclusion. Honor God by doing good. You're free. Do all the good you can. To whoever you can. As long as you can. Honor God by living a life of love. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Okay? Walk in the way of love means doing what's best for the other person. Always. And regardless. Sometimes that means we sacrifice our time. We go out of the way when it's not convenient. But we do good. So what's your purpose in life? I hope you understand it's to honor God with your whole life, with your time, with your property, with your relationships, with your income, with your body. Do what honors God, and you'll always do well. It's funny, people try to make things so difficult sometimes. I do a marriage class with the guys at his way about once every 9 months. And they want to know, how should you treat a woman? That's a question they have, okay? Tell them, treat a woman the way you want a man to treat your sister. And you'll probably do a good job. You know why that's important? Because how do you see they would value their sister. They see their sister as valuable. And so they would want anybody to treat them as valuable. So if you treat people as valuable, you'll treat them the way God wants them to be treated. You'll honor them. So, you're free to do all the good you can. Just look around, see somebody, do some good. Thank you.